Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and this is a Thursday trade edition. I'm going to do some trade theory. This is a long-standing Cascade trade. I either wrote about it in the Rebuilding Guide or the 2022 edition. I can't remember which one it is as I'm sitting here right now. I get two leagues confused. I wrote about three leagues, and I just can't remember. I think I might have wrote about four. It might be more than that. It might be five. I don't remember. But I know I wrote about it in one of them. And this is basically the league where I essentially stunk. I kind of priced myself out of quarterback. I whiffed on Kerryon Johnson. I think I whiffed on – I hit on Mark Andrews, and I traded him like an idiot. I did some dumb stuff along the way. But anyways, I got it back together. And I got it back together right around – on or about November 3rd, 2020. And that was the day I traded. I knew I was out of it. And I had actually traded Myles Gaskin for Jared Cook in September because I thought I was making a run. That fell off quickly. So I traded Philip Rivers. This was the last year in Indy, which we didn't know at the time, by the way. In fairness to the opposing guy, we didn't know it was over for them. But I traded him. I traded Le'Veon Bell. And it was right around the time that Le'Veon Bell ended up in KC, just to sort of set the scene. And there were some thoughts that, hey, maybe he's going to take over for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Jared Cook was, eating innings, kind of lower end tight end one, high end tight end two type deal. And I got a first. And this is the league where it must be the Rebuilding Guy, because I remember writing it. It basically, maximize every edge in terms of the rules, in terms of all of that. And it's like, hey, you get the opportunity to make kind of an asymmetric bet when you're rebuilding. You have to do it. You got to do it. And it was very much like, hey, this guy is the worst in the league in the bottom two or three in potential points. And you've got, but he's winning, right? He was 5-4, something like that. But the worst potential points, and you're like, all right, I just bet on regression just one time. And it was one of those things like, hey, if I bet on regression and I get it right, there's a huge potential outcome here. And I was willing to add to it. He could have any contending piece he wanted, basically, that wasn't any sort of core asset to mine. And I'll take the first. You can do whatever you want. And my bet was basically, you're not going to finish in third place. That's basically all I needed to have happen to get the top one or two picks in the draft, because it's determined by the league was actually determined by potential points as the draft order, unless you finished in the money, right? So as long as you didn't finish in the money, it was potential points, and I was going to get a top couple pick, and I was actually right there too. So it's a really good chance I was going to get one, if not two of the top four picks, basically. And so I made this deal, Rivers, Le'Veon Bell, and Jared Cook, and he didn't win another game. It was almost tragic to watch. But I end up earning, I end up getting 101, and then I earned 103. And the reason why I was thinking a lot about this today, and it's not just because I was like, hey, I got to find a trade to talk about, but it was really about, I was thinking about the Philly and how basically what they've done is basically get in a position where they gain additional assets, and then what are they going to do? This is the trade down that they're in is basically part of them trading away Carson Wentz, right? And that the picks that they got as a result, they're able to trade them. What do? They basically move up a couple picks. They get a pick in 2023, a first rounder, a 2024 second, right? And there's some other stuff in there, but that's really the core stuff of it, right? Which is the first next year, a little slide up this year, and a future second. And all of that is to say, they're just stockpiling artillery for if and when they need to make a quarterback move. And I love their approach to Jalen Hurts, which is hey, this is found money. And there's not a great option right now. And again, we've used the dating analogy. You're dating, you really like them. And you're I want to continue to get to know you. I'm not going to marry you. you know, but I'm going to, you know, continue to do this. And what do they do? Well, at the same time, they're like, hey, just in case something goes wrong, and I'm not going to blow all my money, right? I'm going to, you know, this is the, hey, if this relationship goes wrong, I still have money in the bank. I've saved up some assets that way I can move, right? Like, it's the, hey, I want to move out of here. I want to move to Florida, but I, you know, I'm going to sort of see this thing out first and just see where it takes me. And if I, you know, if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, I'm out of here, basically. That's the Philadelphia equivalent of what they're doing. But it was all good decisions, right? It was a trade down last year with Miami, right? They take Miami's first. I'd say, you know, it's a trade down. It's the trade of the Wentz deal, right? They have their own pick. And so here we are, right? So now they've got three, and what do? They just continue to kick them out. Well, that's right. You take one and you turn it into basically another one in the future, and you get more assets, right? And you just sort of keep trickling it down, right? And then when you need to use it, you have it. If not, you're constantly ahead, right? You're playing on savings, not on credit. And the good part about playing on savings instead of credit is that if there's a, you know, next year's Deshaun Watson, if that's Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, or I don't even know who the next one could be, but the next quarterback that hits the market or that's annoyed about whatever and wants to be traded, you can be in on. And you don't have to do it on future credit. You've got savings already stored up, right? This is the dream house situation, and they're already, you know, and you've got the money in the bank, right? Like, I don't need to compete with anyone else against. No one else can compete with me. I don't need contingencies on a loan or anything like that. I've got it. I got it right here. It's kind of that. And they're just continuing to do that. With us, I think the really good benefit of that is that type of thinking and that type of planning is, again, we're getting random. If you get random future first, you're getting random shots on picks. You're getting them at 105, right? In a 12-team league, we sort of know that the randomness means that you actually get a spot and a half bump up, basically, in terms of the pick value, right? So if you were to think the middle of the first round, if you were to sort of draw randomly for a future first, you would say, okay, the middle of the first round would be 106.5, right? Between 106 and 107. But we know that the values of the picks aren't the same, so that it actually bumps up to about 105. So, you know, we see, you know, I've done the math. I think it's like a 15, 18% bump or something like that in a warp over the next 3 years. So that's a notable benefit, right? So we know that. And you get this upside shot, right? Like, if you land on striking 101, as I did in this, it's a huge outcome. And then your goal should be to really, like, sort of continue that. It's not such that you just kick current assets down the line and just flip for future first. But really, if you do this right, if you sort of land this right, and again, I'm sort of thinking about this in the lights of 2023, because I think these opportunities, these cascading opportunities, are going to continue into that. So if you get the opportunity to take a shot like this now, in a trade down in rookie drafts, really, right? Or you're trading contending assets to a team, right? You kind of trap someone like I trapped them. You get the benefit of it, you know, as you go along. But basically, I ended up turning. So we'll get to this in a second. So what I ended up turning it into. So I do that deal. It ends up being 101. I know I need a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I ended up trading. There's a bunch of trades in this. I had basically Stafford at quarterback. That's what I had. And this was before the 2020. This was actually before. Yeah, this was. Right. So this was before the 2021 season. So this is when Stafford gets traded to the Rams. And it's sort of that happens early on in the offseason. But I need more quarterbacks. So I trade Hopkins. I get back Keenan Allen, which actually ended up being a win. Jameis Winston and Darrington Evans. Scratch out Evans, but Jameis plays big into this. I traded Nick Chubb for Aaron Rodgers. I almost already have my quarterback situation solved. And just within 3 weeks, I re-hit it again. And this is the big one. I trade 103 again, I have 101 and 103. It gets a little confusing in a second, but 103 in February, I end up going 103 to Cousins, Jamal Williams, high quality HHG, Mark Andrews in 204. Right, the Andrews thing turns out huge. Cousins turns out huge as well. My goal in all that was, hey, I want more assets. Right, I'm strengthening out my core. I got later picks, and I'm fleshing out this right now. I've dealt in basically, it ended up literally being 24 days. I went from having Matthew Stafford to having Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Jameis Winston in a series of basically three trades in less than a month. Allows me to pivot. I pivot Jameis in 203 to Josh Jacobs in 307. 307 ends up being Ramondre Stevenson. That'll play in a minute. About this week last year, I make a trade. Again, remember, I had 101, and I traded 103. In the course of negotiating that trade, I wanted to make an even bigger deal, but it got so confusing, I just said, I'm going to take what I got here. I know that there's like more. We had negotiated some like an even bigger deal. And I was like, man, if I can get, like, I'd give up one to this guy instead of three. If I get like a first, like some other stuff in there, right? And, you know, and I wanted Higbee. Like, there was a whole bunch of stuff that I was sort of negotiating around, and it got really confusing. So I just said, you know, we'll cut bait. I'll just take this deal, which is 103 for Cousins, Jamal Williams, Mark Andrews, and 204. We'll revisit it. We revisit it basically a month later. I give John Brown in 101 and 403. I get back Tyler Higbee, who I was really high on. Lesson learned. He was like last year's Goddard for me. I get back 103, so I get that pick back, basically. I get a 2022 first and a 2022 second. And so basically in that process, I've gone, in that whole process, basically starting with Phillip Rivers, Le'Veon Bell, Jared Cook, and 101, plus the 103 that I earned, right? From that, I basically turned that into Cousins, Jamal Williams, Mark Andrews, 204, Najee Harris. And then I turned it into a future first, which ends up being 106 this year, and a future second, which ends up being 206 this year. So again, I basically that's at the cost of, it ends up really becoming almost at the cost of like a gift 101 is really what that ends up becoming. And again, I'm by almost any measure, I'm ahead on the Lawrence side of this, you know, them taking the Lawrence side. So what happens? Well, now I come into this year and I'm like, all right, I've got two firsts. I've got Najee Harris. Like I end up finishing at 111. Right? I had the best team in the league and I came in second place. And that turned around really quick, right? My team was bad. My team earned 103 and it earned 103. I didn't have a good options at quarterback and I spun it around really quick. Again, rebuilding is a loser's language. Deep rebuilds are a loser's excuse, right? Turn it around and do it quickly. Right? You can do these things. Again, did everything break right? Yes. But at the same time, they don't break right for people that don't try, right? Again, if you try and it doesn't break right, like you still have options. But if you don't try, it's not going to break right. So over the course of basically the next of the season, I end up, you know, I'm pretty good. I trade Rondell Moore and Cole Kmet for Evan Ingram. That's probably a loss, right? I needed some upside at tight end. I needed to actually consolidate some roster spots. And so I did that. I ended up trading Swift. I ended up getting back Freiermuth and DJ Moore. So that basically becomes Rondell Moore, Kmet, and DeAndre Swift for DJ Moore, Evan Ingram, and Freiermuth. So again, I moved up at tight end, essentially, and up at wide receiver. And, you know, I kind of ate it a little bit at the running back deal. So, so long story short, I ended up being pretty good. And I've stockpiled assets now. And one of the good things about doing that is it allows you the freedom and flexibility to make good deals when they come. And it allows you, right, just like Philly right now, right? Hey, this sort of gift is dropped in your lap. Like, great, let's take it. Desperate franchises can't do that. Desperate GMs can't do that because you're worried about the long-term consequences, right? You're really worried about the short-term consequences. Oh, I can't fill a need with this pick. I can't do all that. Well, guess what? Howie Roseman, the GM of Philly, for whatever you could say about him, you could say good and you could say bad, right? Again, I'm not here to judge this, but I think what I think the big thing about him is he's secure. And it's amazing what the difference between being a secure GM and being an insecure GM will do. You trade up last year for Justin Fields, unable to surround him, trying to save your job. You look this year, you know, that's Chicago. This year, Carolina, oh, we're going to have to take Kenny Pickett at 8, and we're trying to save our jobs. We haven't been able to land a franchise quarterback yet. Well, right, like there's more that is into that than I just didn't draft one, right? There's probably some organizational weakness along the way. But Roseman's in the right spot, right? Which is like, hey, I don't need to make this now. And I've tripped and fallen into like a pretty decent thing with Hurts. Is it going to get me, right? Is this going to be long-lasting love? I'm not sure, but it's possible. And we'll sort of see, right? We've got the savings. We've got the, you know, a potential outline of a horizon that it might not be the answer, but we've got options to sort of deal with that down the line should it come. When you're dealing like that, you've got a lot of flexibility, right? So what happens? Well, I get into this, and again, I'm pretty good, right? And I'm able to take some risk because I sort of know like I'm trending in the right direction, and I want to sort of like, I want to make this a dynasty team. I want to make this a big time winning team. It doesn't probably hurt that this is happens to be my highest buy-in, right? So I'm really attuned to this league. I decide that I can take on risk too, right? Like what matters to me? The only thing that matters to me is winning, right? Cause the payoff's really big, right? The payoff is really big in terms of I don't even know what it's 6x, something like that. My buy-in, like it's a big, like it matters to win, right? Again, it's not anything that's going to change my life, but I damn sure want to win. Right, like that's right. It matters to me in terms of the scope of fantasy portfolio. It matters to me in terms of a pride thing. Right, let's not kid ourselves. Like I want to win this damn league. I've built this in a way that like now I kind of have dividends coming in. Right, I've got a future first. And what do I do? Well, in the season, I say, all right, like I can afford to risk this. I'm gonna ride Rodgers. I'm going to ride Stafford. At the point, I might have had Tyler Huntley. I think I had a backup, and I don't remember who it is off the top of my head, but I had a backup that was like relevant in terms of like he was playing. I can't seem to find it on the 2021, like where it was. But I had some guys that were like sort of in the hopper at backup quarterback. So I wasn't totally flying like just without a net in a COVID season, because that would have been not perfect. I think I had like Andy Dalton, maybe there might have been somebody else, but I had like a couple other options, and I was deep enough at tight end where I said like this is a tight end premium league where I had the flexibility, like if push comes to shove and I lose a quarterback, like I can start a tight end in the flex and be okay, right? Like I'll be okay, and my team was good with a big sort of like I could probably lose a quarterback for a week and not be a prohibitive underdog, right? I could probably be pretty close, was basically how good my team was. And so I made what would otherwise have looked like a big risk. Cousins and Stevenson for Watson. I knew Watson was going to be unavailable to me, but I said, listen, what's the thing that's going to move the needle, right? What can change the arc? We're going to take that swing. I'm confident that I can take that swing. I'm okay with dealing with the consequences of this right now because I think the upside of a Watson is you win 2 out of 5 years, right? You win 3 out of 7 years, right? Like you really make a dynasty type team with Watson in a way that Cousins, like I like Cousins, but doesn't have the ceiling that a guy like Watson could have, right? He's not going to finish a quarterback one. Watson can do that, right? And that's a win difference, right? And that was really the angle. So now I come into this offseason and I've got, you know, I lose the in the finals. And, you know, so I come into the season, I've got my own pick. I've got the pick ends up being 106. It's actually better than I thought it was going to be. Worse. It was later in the round that I thought it was going to be like a top three pick. It ends up being 106. It's fine. 206 as well. I got my own allotment of picks that come along with it. And then, you know, as the Eagles stuff was happening, I kind of went out and I said, let's, you know, this kind of has inspired me again. And so I started looking around and I said, you know, what? There's a couple of things, and I want to do like a trade rule thing. But one thing I really think is there's something to, and Adam Harstead's talked about this. I've done it in a little bit different way than I think Adam Harstead would talk about. Listen, if one guy's projected ahead of the other guy in terms of scoring, and there's a big gap there, especially at running back, right? The longevity of these guys, it can be really tough. You know, I like Najee Harris, but let's be honest, he's an old running back in a situation that not entirely sure, right? If they draft Malik Willis, is that receiving game really going to be there for him, right? Is that something that we're super confident in? I don't know. This isn't an anti-Najee Harris thing, but it is Austin Eckler is projected ahead of him. And there's some stuff that could happen to Najee Harris that could really go in the wrong direction. That is totally out of his control, and that's not injury related. Whereas Austin Eckler, I don't think that's going to happen, right? He's kind of on like the best free agent deal going in the NFL right now. Like it's not, especially at running back, like he's in a really good situation with a really good contract. Like he's not really going anywhere. He's probably due for a raise, but this isn't a situation where they're going to probably draft someone. You know, they're not going to go out and draft Breece Hall or someone that's going to tank the value, right? Like, he's not going to go through a coaching change or a quarterback change or anything like that. We kind of know what he is at this point. And they're relatively close to market value, right? Najee Harris, a second-round startup pick. Austin Eckler was a fourth-round startup pick. At non-quarterback positions, right? That is a trade-down I'm totally willing to make. And, you know, the 2023 first could turn early, right? It could turn early. And if it turns early, like I'm in a really lucrative spot. The other thing is it's liquid. And as I sit here on this team, I have a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I have a guy like Stafford. I've got Watson. And I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, I've got Andrews. I've got good players, right? I do. I have good players. Like if there's a weakness my team has, it's some maybe some gray beards at wide receiver would probably be the generous way to say it. There's Mike Evans, Keenan Allen. Like I do have DJ Moore. I'm trying to pivot from, you know, but I've got, I do have receivers that could sort of hang in there and compete. You know, and I've got pocketed assets that I can figure out along the way if I need them. So I trade Najee Harris, 206 this year, which didn't mean a ton to me. Again, my roster, it's 28 man. This is one of the safe leagues. And I don't have a ton of room. Not that I could figure out a way to roster 206. It'd probably be okay. But as I get further down the line, like 306 in a class, it's probably not going to be that great. Is there a big difference between 206 and 306? Probably not going to be able to roster all of my rookie picks, right? So I'm going to need to make a trade. So trading out of it, it's not a huge, right? Would I love to have kept it? Yes. But listen, it makes the deal work. So Najee Harris and 206 for Austin Eckler in the 2023 first. Again, what do I do? I've continued to sort of elongate the payoff from this initial deal, which was based out of that 103. And now the deal really becomes, when you look at it, the initial Rivers, Bell, Cook, and my 103 has turned into Cousins for a year, then flip Cousins for Watson, Jamal Williams, Mark Andrews, 204, which I ended up trading, And then, which was last year, and then Najee Harris for a year, Eckler for present, and a 2023 first, 106 and 206. So now I have four picks, right? I've got 106, 111, a 2023 first, and a 2023 first, right? From the Eckler deal, my own, and the extra added first that I have this year. I got four basically firsts. Totally going big game hunting, right? Like, hey, how can I sort of turn one of those into an elite, elite tight end? And maybe that isn't today. Maybe that's in on the clock in a rookie draft, or maybe that's you know, in season, right, when someone's falling out of contention. How do I turn that into a quarterback that can make a difference? The guy that has Mahomes probably just won't do it. Right? The guy that has Herbert, and this is the frustrating part, because by almost any measure, right, like I should be able to do one of those deals. Like I've got the assets to do a deal for an elite quarterback without trading Deshaun Watson. And the guy that has Herbert wants Watson in four firsts, which is just totally idiotic and not going to happen. But like I've got, you know, the Mahomes guy's kind of a middling team, right? I've got a whole bunch of firsts I can give to him if I could, you know, get him to deal, right? I've got, you know, the Josh Allen person is, I don't know if it's a doable deal at present. But it's left me thinking about other options, right? And one of them, it's interesting because some people think that I'm low on the player. I have some questions and concerns about the player, but I'm in a spot where he can sort of tilt the odds for me in a way that, because I'm strong, because I'm a deep team, I've got Stafford, I've got Watson, right? And this is assuming that Watson comes back. We'll have to see. I probably won't make this deal until I have a better understanding about where Watson is, because I have Rodgers, and Rodgers is basically a floor play at this point. I want to sort of turn Rodgers into someone that can wreck things for me, basically. And basically use Stafford as a supermax sort of floor protecting, you know, just asset, right? That's what he is for me. And so what am I thinking? Well, I'm thinking Lamar Jackson, right? Like that's initially where my mind has gone. It's like, all right, listen, if there's a player that can really bend the arc for me at quarterback, it's probably Lamar Jackson more than Aaron Rodgers at this point, just because I struggle to see how Aaron Rodgers has a, you know, one of these massive fat tail type seasons where you can see that with Lamar if he stays healthy. And if he doesn't stay healthy, like I've got, like, he's not going anywhere probably as an asset. And again, I don't love sort of the idea of playing year to year at quarterback, but I have, you know, I've, again, I'm playing on savings, and I've got outs with Stafford and Watson. This is something that, again, I am open to trading future firsts in a way that I haven't usually been. This is kind of why I don't do it unless I'm getting a top 30 asset. That, like, I really, really don't want to do that unless I've got a top 30 asset. Like, just think about the stuff in this that has broken my way by sort of, you know, basically agreeing to that rule, which is like, all right, I gave up Rivers, Le'Veon Bell, and Jared Cook, and I got a future first. No top 30 assets. Like, yes, I will take the first, right? Like, absolutely. Again, I do Najee Harris and Eckler. I'm basically moving off of a top 30 asset to something that's pretty close to it. If you start, I think Eckler was like 38, 39, something like that in terms of the stuff. Close enough, right? It's not a magic wall, but it's close enough. You know, you move off 101 and you basically get to 103. Again, that was a top 30 asset or so at the time, and it ends up being better than that. Again, you get future 2022 first, right? You're not sort of hemorrhaging that, right? I'm sort of on the right side of that rule in this. And it just allows you to, right, you're operating on savings, right? You're not going to the grocery store and thinking like, oh, is my card going to get rejected, right? Like, you know, is this, like, how much change do I have in my cup holder? Like, I need a gallon of milk. How much change do I have in my cup holder? Right. you know, you're not doing that, right? You're not trying to scramble on picks. You're playing from ahead. And I think that this is a good, the Eagles thing's a great example of that. You know, the Golden State stuff too, like Golden State basically did this where they had, you know, they've got a whole bunch of rookies now and young guys that are, they're sort of backfilling in. And again, there's some question of like, is that a wise decision? But their goal is, yeah, like, hey, we can sort of compete now and in the future, right? And that's kind of what we're doing. My holding of future assets doesn't conflict with my present contention because I'm willing to use them to contend if and when the situation strikes. Right? Will I hold two 2023 firsts through the rookie draft or through the season? We'll see. Right. There's a really good chance the answer to that question is no, because I want to increase my odds at some point. But having that in storage, having that in savings, you know, in case the situation, some situation doesn't work out, I've got answers. Right? And that's really the thing that, as you sort of play ahead, you know, and again, this thing broke right for me, but I didn't screw it up in the process. You know, when that happens, right, continue to try and, you know, continue to try and maximize that edge into the future, because it's a really lucrative game. And then what happens is exactly what's happened with Philly, right? Everyone has to come through you, or teams have to come through you, and you're sort of sitting on, you know, you'd much rather be the person loaning the money than the person paying the interest to get the money loaned to them. And when you play Dynasty right, when you play it like Philly, when you play it in a secure way, when you play it and you're securing yourself and your decisions the same way, again, there's an agency problem here, because there's nothing to say that Howie Roseman's secure in his job, right, that he's there. We're Dynasty GMs. We're in, you know, as long as league stays around, you're not firing yourself unless, you know, this is like a me, myself, and Irene situation, but you're generally not going to fire yourself, or you're going to stay in the league, and you can take advantage of the edge that you create by making good decisions over and over and over again, right? And in that way, you become very much the loan officer, or the bank that's loaning instead of paying the interest. And you know, that's a big reason why, like, I like to play on savings, right? Play ahead instead of playing on credit. Like, I'm willing to do that to maximize my edge under certain circumstances, but that's not how I want to play. I want to play like this, right? Because now, you know, I'm ahead of the game, and I can use that as an edge, right? To really make difference making moves to optimize my edge, and that's really the lesson that I took from this, right? And I sort of have an example to match up with it. But again, when we see examples happening in real life, try to figure out ways to emulate them. What is the edge there that Philly's able to do? They can play the long game, right? They can have the longest game in the room, the longest view in the room, right? To use the Sam Hinkie line, right? No, don't butcher it, Jordan. But they have the longest view in the room, and what do, right? They can make deals that are give them the highest upside, right? Because they have the long view, they're secure in it, like they're confident in it, and that's how we can do it too, right? That's how we can do it too, because we can have a good process. We don't need to be insecure. We don't need to run scared. We can make good trades, right? Take advantage of good opportunities as they come along, and then when we get ahead, right, stay ahead. Right. Don't do what the Chiefs did by saying, hey, look, now we're contending, we're in this thing, like, all right, now we can splurge on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? You start doing those things, and like, that's how you get to a position where you need to trade one of your best players for cap purposes, right, over the long term, because you got issues, because you had to pay at you know, a whole bunch of other issues. So that's really the thing that I think is good about this, right? Study good franchises, study teams that make good decisions. The Eagles definitely won. You know, the Warriors won as well. And they're not playing on credit. Like, they're playing ahead of the game. And listen, the good part about the Warriors is, like, they were confident enough that they actually traded and added a first in the midst of being contenders, and ended up being a really good pick, you know. So and that's the sort of stuff that really good, smart franchises, smart dynasty GMs can do and really maximize their edge. So a little bit longer version here. Again, this isn't a non-trade specific thing, but I want to talk a little trade theory. So there's your Thursday trades. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.